1, 2, 3.
Hello, this is Emily Holdaway and Spencer Hawkshurst interviewing Trisha Earley on March 15th, 2019 at 3:24.
It is early.
Early, I'm so sorry. early at 3:24 p.m. in Honors Hall 229C. This interview is part of the Baird Oral History Project. Our goal is to preserve a record of Baird's history in honor of our 30th anniversary. Thank you so much for taking the time to sit down with us and share your experiences.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. So, first question, let's start. When did you attend Baird?
So, I was a student from the years 2000 to 2004.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been an employee of Baird from 2009 to the present.
Great. Why did you choose ASU in Baird?
So, as a student, I'm from the Midwest originally, from Southern Illinois, and I wasn't sure where I wanted to go to school, but I knew I wanted to go try something different. I was looking at big schools, I was looking at out of state. ASU was not on my radar, and then I received some recruitment materials. I was a National Merit Scholar, so ASU was recruiting National Merits pretty heavily. At the time, Ted Humphrey was the dean.
Mm-hmm.
You guys may have heard of him through the Oral History Project, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Yeah, so Dean Humphrey actually came to St. Louis and took me and my parents out to dinner and talked to us about Baird and how it was so great and we should really consider it. And it was this new idea. You know, honors colleges weren't a huge thing quite like they are now, but it was something that was kind of like an up-and-coming experience. So, I felt really special that the dean of the Honors College took my family out to dinner. So we decided to check it out. So it was about April. We flew out and checked out Arizona State. I'd never been to Arizona before, but I just loved it. I fell in love with the mountains.
Was this your senior year?
Yeah, senior year. Yeah, so with National Merit, you have to declare your school by May 1st. And I hadn't really thought about ASU until April, so it was a whirlwind and I decided to come to ASU, and it all worked out.
Yeah. What did you major in?
My major was in fine arts. So I was a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Painting, and I did a business minor.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
How would you describe Baird?
So Baird, when I was a student, you know, it was a lot smaller. It definitely felt like a family. I think it still does today, but in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
It still has that kind of that small community aspect to it. I felt like we were a pretty tight-knit group. A lot of the students that I went to Baird with at the time. But the thing that I think describes Baird for me is the idea of like a going above and beyond. As a student, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to challenge myself. I wanted to do more than I had to because I was just driven to excel and challenge myself and try things that I hadn't tried before.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that way as an employee, too. And I see that from the other staff that I work with now. I really feel like we want to be the best that we can for the students. We're always trying to challenge ourselves to be better advisors, to learn other advising techniques. So I think that's something that I can see from a different perspective, but has been true from my experience both as a student and now as a staff member.
Were you involved in any organizations during your time at ASU as a student?
I was. I was an honors devil. Yes, and I found an artifact that I thought I could share with you guys potentially. This is a brochure back from, I think,
it even has the old logo.
Yes.
Wow.
It has an old picture of Dean Jacobs on the back.
Gosh.
Here I am as an honors devil.
Wow. That is so cool.
Isn't that cute?
That's super awesome.
Yeah.
That's super awesome.
So I was an honors devil. I like to say I wasn't an ideal honors devil because we had the opportunity to like choose what kind of things we wanted to do, and I would always choose take prospective families out to lunch. I know, right? The free lunch, that was very appealing to me. So I didn't do very many tours. I only remember doing a couple tours. I would just do the free lunches, which was a ton of fun. I really enjoyed that. I loved meeting with the families, and I was an out-of-state student, so especially when we had those out-of-state families to tell them about my experience of coming out here, that was a lot of fun. So I was an honors devil, and I enjoyed that. I was part of Camp Sparky. I think Camp Sparky still exists. It's a group that goes to elementary schools and runs, like, day camps for the students around a theme, like, to teach them about
exist.
Yeah, it's definitely still exists. And then we did, 1 year we actually had like a summer camp for them for, I think a week, like a day camp for the students. So that was fun. I did that. And then I was part of a group called Mural Coles. I don't think they exist anymore.
It's a cool name though.
Yeah. So we would go to hospitals and do some sort of art with the patients. So it was either, you know, like the fine arts, like painting. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we would do music. That type of thing.
And that was Miracle?
Miracles. Like Miracle. A mural.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sorry. That's what I was like, ooh.
Those are the main things I was involved with.
Yeah. That's super cool. What was your favorite? Like, what was, you know, I mean, not to say, which one do you think you most, like, interacted with? Like,
I was most involved with Camp Sparky.
Okay. That's super cool.
When I was a student, for my scholarship, there was a community service requirement. So, like, you had to do community service, and that's how I originally found Camp Sparky.
Yeah.
But then I just really liked it.
Wow. And you were all part of that club all 4 years, I'm assuming? Or?
Camp Sparky, I think I did all 4 years.
Uh-huh.
I was an honors double, I believe, 3 years.
Okay.
2 years. I didn't do it the whole time. I can't remember exactly when I started.
Yeah.
And Miracles was a brand new club, so I think I only did that 2 years.
Yeah. That's super awesome.
Mm-hmm.
We heard that you met your husband at Barrett.
It's true.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us that story?
Yes. So I like to say I'm a Barrett love story. So I came to Barrett. I was out of state. I was living in the residence halls. We did just call them dorms at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I lived in Center Complex. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Center Complex. Specifically, I was best C, third floor. That was the best floor. We were proud of our floor. So I was living in Best, having a great first semester, meeting lots of new people, and then that second semester of my freshman year, I was actually at an off-campus event, and this guy came in, and the way he tells the story is he saw me across the room.
Your eyes.
And he said to a friend, like, who's that? And his friend goes, that's just Trisha. And somehow, we had never met. But he also lived in Bessie, but he was on the second floor.
Oh.
I know, right? So far away.
Yeah.
So we met and started hanging out and started dating and stayed together. We're still together to this day.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's so great. And what did he major in?
So he was an education major.
Gotcha.
Yes. And he actually works at the Mesa School District here in town.
Wow. Were there any other significant moments during your time at ASU as a student?
So another thing that I think was pretty cool, when I did my thesis, it was definitely more of a creative project because I was a painting major, as I mentioned, and I had Dean Peggy Nelson as one of my thesis committee members. She was my third committee member.
Mm-hmm.
So she's a former dean that just retired this past year.
Oh,
yeah.
So Dean Nelson... She's an anthropologist, but she's a big supporter of the arts. So she was absolutely a really great person to add to my committee. I feel like I learned a lot from her. But at the time, she was starting Celebrating Honors. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Celebrating Honors. That's the thesis symposium that's held at the end of each year. The way it looks now is we take over the courtyard and students have like posters when they present their work.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Is it still called that? Or
that's what it's called, Celebrating Honors.
Yeah.
And it's in here?
Yes.
Okay.
I believe I participated in the very first Celebrating Honors.
Oh, nice.
It was in Old Main, Carson Ballroom of Old Main. And because I had a creative project, I think I was the only creative project represented.
Okay.
And I had literally brought, like, I hauled over these huge canvases and, like, set them up in the room. And I had to get this cart to do it. And, like, it was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really cool. Only creative project, I believe, represented. So that was super exciting for me at the time.
Mm-hmm. And that was your senior year?
Yes, that was senior year.
Oh, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. What was your thesis on?
So I was doing a series of paintings, my work was oil painting and primarily figure-based. I actually think I can remember the title. It was called People, Place, and Things, Forming First Impressions. And it was about how we form first impressions based on, like, the things we see around people, so it had lots of things going on in the backgrounds as well. And there were several artists that I studied to help me with my technique for this. So that was kind of some of the research that went into the project on the back end. Several different arts that were influencing me as well as the techniques that I was using when doing the works. So it was a series of paintings. I had space in a gallery on campus, so I did have like a show for the work as well.
You had your own show?
Yeah. It was really exciting.
That's a big
it was
deal.
Really exciting.
That's a really
yeah,
big
thank
deal.
You.
That's super cool. Wow, good for you.
Yeah.
Do you still have your artwork from your pieces?
I have a lot of it. I don't have all of it, though.
Gotcha.
Unfortunately, most of it is stacked in my garage with like a sheet laid on top of it. They were big paintings, like 5 feet tall, 3 feet wide.
Yeah,
they were big canvases.
So you said that like the idea behind your honors thesis was to like. It was about first impressions.
Yeah.
So do you think it was more towards, like, fine arts, or do you think it was more towards, like, social interactions? Like, what do you think?
I like that question. It definitely was more fine arts focused, but I wanted to bring a little bit of the social interaction into it, and I think that was what I was trying to do with this idea. So it had a little bit of that aspect, but the main focus of what I did and the research that I wrote about was on the fine arts side of it.
And then, expanding on the thesis, was this like an honors thesis or was this a thesis? Because I know that there's a difference.
This was the honors thesis.
Okay.
So this was my Barrett thesis.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. And I know that, you know, one of the biggest things about the honors thesis is it really doesn't have to focus towards your actual major.
Yes.
So what do you think that, like, do you think that that's expanded? Do you think that's grown? And do you think your experience in general has, like, taught you to encourage other students to, like, you know, expand on their thesis outside their major?
That's an interesting question. So I don't know if there was a rule when I was a student that you had to do your thesis in your major or not.
Yeah.
But everyone I knew did their thesis in their major. So I'm not sure if that was a rule or not. And part of why I think I don't know the answer to that is because when I was a student, honors advising wasn't a thing.
Really?
So when I think honor they hired a couple honors advisors when I was a junior or a senior, and it was like optional if you wanted to go and you could, you weren't required.
Interesting.
Then a few years after that, I believe around 2005, they made honors advising a requirement where everyone then had to go in and meet regularly with their advisor and learn about those rules. Hey, you could do a thesis outside your major. Maybe that was a rule, just none of us knew it at the time when I was a student. So I think honors advising has helped make students aware of the options they have with the thesis. And definitely I think my personal experience is helpful when I'm working with students that have an interest maybe outside of their major, a more creative idea, because I feel like I understand what that looks like.
Exactly.
It's very different than a traditional thesis.
Exactly.
So I really love working with students that have kind of that other idea and talking to them about what that could look like or what you could do. So I think that my experience was useful in that sense.
Awesome. That's cool.
Yeah, so you graduated with a degree of fine arts, and now you work at Barrett Advisory.
Why am I an advisor?
So, like, can you tell us a little bit, like, that process or, like, that transition?
Yeah, so I got my bachelor's in fine arts, and I wasn't sure what I wanted to do with my life. I'd heard about a master's program, actually, in painting, that I put in an application to. I wasn't sure that that's what I wanted to do. But then sometimes life sends you other things. So my mom was diagnosed with breast cancer around that time. And so I decided it was important for me to move closer to home, to kind of be with her and be able to see her more as she was, you know, going through treatments and recovering. So the program that I applied for was back in Illinois. That's where I'm from. And I got admitted to that program with a full fellowship, so it was, like, paid for.
Yeah.
So I decided, okay, then I'm going, because it's easy, right?
Easy choice.
That's paid for. I'll be closer to my mother. So that's what I did. So I went and I did a master's program in painting. And just side note, so you're not worried, my mom is fine. She came out at champ, doing well to this day.
So happy to hear.
So I'm at this program back in Illinois. I'm doing my master's in painting, and I'm enjoying it. But what I found I really enjoyed even more was I was teaching a class on fine arts for non-majors, and I was supervising some other graduate students for a program, and I just realized I really liked working with the students. Like, I really had a lot of fun working with the students in the class I was teaching and working with the other graduate students and interacting with the staff. I really liked that, and all of a sudden I had, like, the light bulb moment of, oh, this could be my career path. I could work at a university. So when I finished the master's program, that's what I did. I looked for jobs at universities, and that's how I ended up back at ASU. I actually started ASU in admissions and then transferred or transitioned into advising from there.
Now working in advising for Barrett, how do you think, like, Barrett effectively helps students navigate college and prepare for their future?
Yes. I wrote some notes for some of these questions because I didn't want to forget the things I wanted to say. So, I'm sorry, which question did you ask? Sorry, I'm
The networking advising, how do you think Barrett helps students navigate college and prepare for the future?
One thing that I think that Barrett does that I don't know that students always even know is happening is we help remove barriers, I think, sometimes.
I know this.
Thanks, Spencer.
Yeah, no, I noticed that for sure.
You know, I was just talking about this with someone the other day. I think we are a safe, we try to provide an opportunity, a little safe space here for students to explore. And we want to operate from a place of, yes, you can do that.
Yeah.
So, for example, you know, some students, maybe they want to major in engineering, but they always like taking history classes. And they're like, I was told I can't do both. And I'm here to say, well, why not?
Yeah.
Why can't we try both? Why can't we do a history class? Maybe you end up doing a thesis outside of your major in that area.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So I think that we offer a space where students hopefully can imagine almost anything is possible, and help them then figure out, okay, well, how can we actually then make that happen?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe what are the resources that we can connect you with, or even just helping sometimes brainstorm what are the questions you should be asking or what are the words you need to know so that you can navigate the system more effectively.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that we try to remove barriers for folks.
Oh, yeah.
I also think the thesis or creative project is a huge gift. I know it's going to be a lot of work. I don't know if either of you started.
I'm actually meeting with my FHA next week.
Okay.
So, starting.
I know, it can seem very scary, but it is a huge gift. It is a big deal to do a thesis or creative project, and it's not something that's required. This is something you are choosing to do.
Yeah.
Yes. And it is going to make a huge difference in your future. Even if you do a thesis that's totally unrelated to what you want to do in the future. Like, I did a painting thesis. You will learn so much through that process about project management, about working with people with disparate points of view, and being the one who's ultimately in charge of this project. It is going to help you. No, I guarantee it, whether you go to grad school or whether you go to employment, whether you're interviewing for an internship or a medical school or whatever, you are going to gain a lot of skills from doing this thesis, and it's such a huge gift. And I think in advising, we do a pretty good job of helping prepare you. But there's some things that you're just going to have to experience on your own.
Yeah, definitely. What's your favorite part of your job?
Well, my favorite part of my job is working with students,
yes,
number one.
Exactly.
But specifically, I do really like helping students with the thesis.
Oh, yeah. Your eyes just light up talking.
Yeah.
It's so fun to hear all these different ideas that students have. That's the best part. Students, you guys are in every single major, so I get to meet students with all sorts of cool interests, things I've never thought of before, and they get excited to tell me about what they might want to do for their thesis or interesting classes that they've done or a cool honors contract that they've worked on. I love that. I love hearing what students are interested in. That is just so fun for me. And then helping them figure out, well, how can we develop this maybe into your thesis?
Mm-hmm. What do you think has been, like, the most unique thesis or multiple ones? I know it's hard to pick one, but, like, what do you think is the most unique?
Yeah, let me think of a couple memorable ones. So, most unique. Well, you know, this was a pretty cool one. This one, I think, is a few years old. I thought this one was super cool. This student was an anthropology major,
mm-hmm.
and she was studying bone samples.
Ooh.
So, like, she literally would have a microscope with a little slide, and she'd be looking at the little fragments of the bones. That's what she was doing for hours and hours and hours on end.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be honest, I don't remember why she was looking at bone samples. But she was looking at the bone samples for some sort of anthropology reason. And she was writing a very scholarly academic paper based on what she learned about these bone samples. But as she's doing this and looking at these samples, she's like, they're really cool. I feel like they're just really visually interesting to
uh-huh.
look at. So she ended up having, as an aside project, a series of art pieces. So she took like scans of the bone samples
mm-hmm.
and like blew them up and then, like, manipulated them and turned them into art pieces.
That is so cool.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah, and that
That's
was just,
crazy.
Like, for fun, like, you know.
So,
like,
her thesis
oh.
was kind of this, like, dual thesis. It's, like,
uh-huh.
academic paper,
yeah.
but also these, like, really cool, visually stunning art pieces that were created
mm-hmm.
from that. That one stands out to me as a really cool one.
That is so cool. Yeah, so kind of moving into the future of Barrett. Where do you see Barrett in 5 years? 10, 20, 30, however far you want to go.
Yeah, these are tough questions, I think. They're interesting questions. Well, I'm very committed to Barrett, personally.
Mm-hmm.
As you may guess, right? I have a long history.
Very committed.
So, right now, I am actually working on a doctorate. So I'm in a doctoral
oh, cool.
program in educational leadership, and through this program, I'm doing a study in my workplace about how to help students who are beginning the honors thesis.
Mm-hmm.
There's another theme there, a little tie there, right?
Yeah.
So I would like, so I'm very committed to this whole like experience in helping students through the honors thesis, and I would like to see us develop this a little bit further of developing some more structured pathways for students when they're starting their thesis project. Some students don't need that. Some students have lots of ideas. They build really wonderful connections to professors, and it's really easy for them just to start a thesis project. But other students need a little bit more help, I think, in those early stages.
Mm-hmm.
And other students would like, I think, even more structured projects that are maybe ongoing freestanding projects that
yeah.
they can get plugged into.
Yeah.
So I would like to see us maybe develop out some things like that
mm-hmm.
a little bit more robustly
yeah.
over the next maybe 5 to 10 years for that idea.
Mm-hmm. So going off that, you know, you talk about this challenge of starting a thesis and this challenge of interacting with professors. So when you start a thesis, what do you think is like the most challenging part for a student? Like, student comes in, they're like, I'm really struggling with blank. What do you most often see?
I would say the most often thing is students who haven't built connections to professors yet.
Yeah.
That means they're probably going to go talk to a professor they've never met before, and
yeah.
that's scary.
That is
mm-hmm.
very scary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
so they have the honors contract.
I already feel that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'd say that is the biggest struggle. And some of it is just telling students, like, it's totally okay to approach a professor you've never had before. That's
mm-hmm.
normal. And that's part of their job, is to meet with you and talk with you. But still, even just getting over that mental block for some students, that's hard.
Oh, yeah.
But then, you know, helping students, if they haven't built those connections, sometimes they have, actually.
Okay.
Sometimes, you know, when you start asking them, well, tell me about your classes and what have been your favorites and what project did you do for those classes, then they'll start opening up and you'll realize, wait a minute, you're telling me a lot about this class, you got an A, I bet you have a connection to that professor whether you realize you really do or not,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So I think that's the biggest challenge for a lot of students.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting answer.
Yeah. I think you kind of already touched base on this, but just in case, how would you like to see Barrett evolve?
Yes. So, I would say, I actually have seen Barrett evolve, Well, I've seen Barrett grow a lot over the time from when I was a student to when I'm here, and evolve. Like, it's much more fully formed experience than it was when I was a student. But what I would like to see, I would like us to see us keep evolving. I think we have to, so that we can be competitive and continue to be that gold standard, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But what I would like to see is, as we evolve, we keep kind of that the same kind of core values feeling going on.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned at the beginning that it felt like a real small family. Like, you knew most of the people in Barrett, and it's impossible for you to know everyone now, but I still think it feels like that for a lot of folks. I hope it feels that way to you. Like, it does kind of feel more like, hey, this is a family. I've got people that care about me. I think those things are true.
Mm-hmm.
I just hope that we can continue to keep those types of core values throughout, no matter what, no matter where Barrett goes in the future.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're talking, like, expansion of students and expanding it more?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think at this point in time, knock on wood, I don't think we're planning to expand right now.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a good thing. I think we're probably in a good critical mass for now. We need to, like, keep at this size and develop things out from here.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I don't know what the future would hold for this, but thinking future, I mean, even now, we're seeing more and more classes are going online. And I think that is a frontier that we haven't really crossed yet with honors. What does online education look like in honors? And I don't think, personally, that universities have figured out what online education, really good online education, consistently looks like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
My experience from hearing from students is sometimes their online classes are great, and they get a lot, and they think they're amazing, and sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
I think it really depends on the level of commitment of the student sometimes.
I think that
a lot of time, because all the accountability is on you, you know.
I think it also is how the class is set up, the level of commitment of the professor to keep it engaging.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, I don't think it's consistent at ASU yet, and I think, though, as ASU continues to expand those offerings, honors may have to take a look at how we may fit in to that puzzle.
A lot of the, because I know a lot of the honors, like, section classes and obviously the human event are very heavily discussion-based. Do you think that Barrett could keep that online, could have that online presence while still keeping that very core, like, discussion-based class?
I think that's a very good question. I'm just going to speak from my own personal experience. As I mentioned, I'm doing a doctoral program. I've had a number of in-person classes and online classes for this program. It's been kind of hybrid. And in my online classes, there have been things like discussion boards and whatnot, and I don't think they've been that robust.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what your experience has been like in online classes. I don't think we've figured this out yet. I'm not just saying Barrett or ASU. I'm just saying,
in general,
as
humanity hasn't figured this out yet.
Yeah.
But I think you hit the nail on the head that if we want to have an honors experience where it feels like you are having real, meaningful, thought-provoking interactions, we haven't figured out what that looks like yet.
Yeah.
Maybe Barrett will. I don't know.
Maybe
time
we'll be
will
the
tell.
One to figure it out. What do you think has been the biggest difference between, like, your experience as an undergraduate now looking at almost all of the people doing undergraduate through Barrett now?
I am just so impressed with you guys. The Barrett students today are just so amazing. So many students are just... You guys seem, I don't know, you seem smarter than I was back then. Maybe I'm not remembering things the same way, but I'm just so impressed by how dedicated these students are. I feel like you guys are, I'm talking as a whole, but you two,
mm-hmm.
Emily,
sure, you
Spencer.
Can keep looking at me and saying, it's okay.
But I feel like the students that I work with every day, they're so driven, they're all really proactive with their education, looking at opportunities to get involved with. So many students involved with research projects, so many students that are, you know, doing really amazing internships and travel. I just feel like Barrett students are even more engaged than when I was a student. I think there are more opportunities at ASU, but I think that our students are better at getting plugged into them than we were as students. And I don't want to tout advising as the answer to that, but I do think advising plays a little bit of a role in that, in that you guys have to come in, and hopefully we're pushing that kind of stuff out to you. That's what I know I try to do, is push these opportunities out to my students. And I think I went and saw an ASU advisor once when I was a student, but I was never even required to ever see an advisor at all the whole time I was a student at ASU.
That's crazy.
So that's totally different. And there's a lot of other reasons why ASU, you know, ASU is with President Crow. He has done so much to bring in a lot more research funding and to have way more opportunities for undergraduates to get involved in these types of things. So that's different. The university looks different even. But I think that Barrett has done a better job of helping students get connected to those opportunities.
I guess follow up from that. And so you say that there's a lot of different like opportunities. So do you think there ever will be like a threshold of like too many opportunities? Because I know, you know, you'll go into your residence hall or dorm or whatever, and you'll be like, oh, there's 15 things that are on my elevator, like signs, like the things going on. Do you think that there ever will be like so many opportunities that it will almost be voided, and it, like the opportunities will be so wide that they won't even?
I mean, I think that I don't think there's a blanket answer to that. I think that it is a personal thing that happens, right?
Yeah.
You're a human being. You can only take in so much information at once. And when you're bombarded all day long and you've got the Honors Digest email, but then you've got the listserv for your major, and then you've got 30 flyers outside your elevator in your dorm, your brain can only retain so much, and it starts looking like white noise.
Yeah.
I think that is a danger, and it is.
Okay.
But I will say... I can't tell you how many times a student is telling me about this really cool opportunity they're doing. They're like, oh, I'm doing this really amazing internship, or I just got connected to this cool project. And I always ask, how did you find that opportunity? Because I'm just curious.
Of course.
And so many times they say the Honors Digest. So my advice, personal advice to you, is try to at least glance at your Honors
of
Digest.
Course. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
That wasn't around when you were a student. Or
no.
No. That's a really recent thing. Right?
No, it's not super recent. I don't know when it started, but I think it was before I became here as staff, so it was before 2009 for sure.
Really?
Here's like an interesting little tidbit. So when the Honors Digest started, each post was an individual email.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Have you heard this?
Keith told you.
Oh.
Yeah. So you would...
That is very...
Yeah, people would get... You would get like... Maybe you'd only get 3 emails today. Maybe you'd get 10 tomorrow. Maybe you'd get 20 the next day. It was, talk about a clogged inbox. It was a little crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the once a day daily digest was like a revolutionary idea.
Like, what if we just made it all into one? I was like, yes. Perfect.
Yes.
I'm just like very curious. So, since you didn't have, there weren't honors advising when you were like an undergraduate, how did people like navigate the honors requirement? Was the requirement still the same as it is now, or did it change throughout?
Yes, I believe the requirements were the same.
Okay.
There was 36 credits, the human event, your first two semesters, the numbers were different, but it was the same thing. And then the thesis, your senior year, and then you could do like honors contracts, honors sections, same kind of thing. I think we got like a one pager, and it was just up to you to make sure you completed it, and I think someone just had to check at the end.
Sounds like that 2004 type of thing.
Crazy. A lot of people, way more students graduate from Barrett now than when I was a student.
Interesting.
And I mean, I would say, and I think you would say it's because of advisor. Because
I think that's one piece of the puzzle.
Yeah.
That's one piece. It made it a lot easier for students to know their requirements and to keep up with them. But I think a lot of credit also is due to... Dean Jacobs, he came in 2003, and I think he did a lot of good things for the Honors College and helped really get students involved and invested, and helped us grow in a smart way. So, you know, there's credit to go around.
Yeah.
not just my turn.
Exactly.
Great. Thank you so much for your time. Was there anything else that you would like to add that you wish that we brought up today?
Well, I did have one other story that I thought
okay.
I might share.
Yes.
I'm ready for it.
All the stories.
So I took the human event, of course. Two semesters of the human event. It was hard for me. I don't know if anyone else felt that way.
Oh, I totally breezed past it. I'm just kidding, I did not. But
so the second semester of the human event was my very first B. And I remember that being really hard when I was a student because I was not used to getting Bs. And I'm so glad looking back that I got that B. Like that was an important turning point, I think, in my college education.
Oh yeah.
I think having that small failure, those are in air quotes, for your transcript.
Thank you.
It really helped me view education differently, and it really pushed me to work harder, and I'm really grateful for it. But I also am grateful for it now that I'm an advisor, because I see students in my office who are not doing as well in the human event as they liked. I remember feeling that way. I know how scary it can be in the moment, but if you can make it through those times that you push yourself, that's where you really learn the most about yourself. So I was really grateful for my B in the human event.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. You know, I wasn't a straight A high school student, but once I got my first B, I was like, all right, I'm ready to learn now. Here we go.
I love that, Spencer. You said that so much better than I did.
Yeah, you know, it's basically, I think it was a big turnaround point in the fact that, you know, you were kind of breezing through it. You're like, oh, this is easy. And then you're like, oh, this is easy, but I didn't get the grade I wanted. Now it's time to try harder. So.
Yeah, use it as motivation.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And 100%. To realize that the grade isn't everything.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
I mean, obviously grades are, like, a factor, but it's also, like, what do you take from it? Because when you're in an interview or when you're doing whatever, you're going to be like, I took this class and I know about this because, like, I actually, like, paid attention and I studied
and made
I asked
it meaningful.
Questions.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
And I think that's a message that you go to every grad student, because, you know, you see all this, because, like, oh, my God, I have an A-. The end of the world.
I remember being that person.
I haven't been that person in years. I'm like,
you've seen the light, Spencer.
I've seen the light.
Yes.
I saw the light a long time ago.
Like, as long as I keep the bare minimum, I'm
yes.
Good
job. Good
now
job, guys.
I'm not pressing my luck, but yeah. So
mm-hmm.
a little
awesome.
Life lesson at the end of this interview.
Love it. Love it.
Days.
Awesome.
Well, I want to say you guys are really wonderful interviewers.
Oh, thank you.
Viewers, and I can tell that you just have, like, curiosity, which I think
uh-huh,
makes a
yeah.
good interviewer, so.
Yeah. Awesome.
That was lovely. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Yeah, so that concludes our interview for our Barrel Oar History Project, celebrating the 30th anniversary of Fairfield Honors College. And if you have any questions, please contact Vice Dean Foote.